Is opened, the spiritual aspirant must have both longing for God and faith. What is faith? It is knowing that when we knock at the door, it will be opened. This faith does not come until we have achieved purity of heart. Lusts, passions, and fleshly desires prevent us from seeing God, who is nevertheless present at all times, everywhere. The more we knock, the more we ask and pray, the more this world will be seen to be a mere appearance, and the reality of God's presence will open to us. True longing for God, the hungering and mourning which Jesus calls blessed, comes only when we are no longer attached to the objects of this world. We must reach a stage of spiritual unfoldment in which, in the words of the psalmist, the soul yearns for divine union, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. The great Hindu mystic Chaitanya longed for the vision of Krishna so desperately that an instant separation from his beloved Lord seemed to him like 1,000 years. He felt that his heart would burn away with its desire, and that the world, without God, was a heartless void. When this intensity of longing arises, God grants the prayer of his devotee. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? We must always remember that God loves us, who are his own children, and that we have a right to his indulgence. Sri Ramakrishna said, "If a son begs continually for his share of the property, his parents will give it to him even before he comes of age. The Lord will surely answer your prayers if you feel restless for him. He is our own father and mother. We have every right to claim our inheritance from him. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." The truth which Jesus teaches here is common to all the major religions. It is the golden rule, our guide for conduct in human society. There are almost identical passages in the Mahabharata, the famous Indian epic. "Treat others as thou wouldst thyself be treated. Do nothing to thy neighbor which hereafter thou wouldst not have thy neighbor do to thee." Our goal in life is to experience union with God and all beings. We can make this end the means of realizing God. If we practice trying to see the unity, if we do unto others as we would have them do unto us, our consciousness will eventually be transformed. Then we will actually see the one God vibrating in every atom of the universe and love him in all beings. Teaching Arjuna the truth of universal love, Sri Krishna says, "Who burns with the bliss and suffers the sorrow of every creature within his own heart, making his own each bliss and each sorrow, him I hold highest of all the yogis." There are some who believe that the search for God is apt to make the searcher indifferent to the sufferings of others, but the very opposite is true. The more we turn to God with love, the more sensitive we become to the problems of others, and the more we care for them. We begin to realize that our own self is the self in everyone else. Because we wish to be happy, we cannot cause unhappiness to others, and so we cannot hurt others in any way. My master used to say, "Go and meditate, chant the Lord's name, then you will find your heart expanding in sympathy for all." "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life and few there be that find it. Jesus warns us that realization of God is not easy. Purity of heart can only be achieved after a great struggle. In the Katha Upanishad, we read, "Like the sharp edge of a razor, the sages say, is the path. Narrow it is, and difficult to tread." We are also told that the Lord created the senses outgoing. "Accordingly, man looks towards what is without, and sees not what is within. Rare is he who, longing for immortality, shuts his eyes to what is without, and beholds the self." The natural human tendency is to rush out through the broad ways of the senses and lose oneself in the world. The process of religious growth is to turn that whole current of life around and make it flow inward through the straight gate. The meaning of the straight gate seems to be made quite clear by the yoga teachings on spiritual awakening. The yogis of India identify three nerve passages in the spine, which are called the Ida, the Pingala, and the Sushumna. The Ida and the Pingala are the two outer passages of the spinal nerves. But modern anatomists have been unable to find any use for the Sushumna, the central passage. Yoga, however, reveals its use. According to yoga, there are seven centers of spiritual consciousness located along the spine in the human body. At the base of the spine, a reserve of latent spiritual energy is situated, which, awakened by spiritual practices and devotion to God, flows upward through the narrow channel of the Sushumna. As this energy reaches the higher centers of consciousness, it produces various degrees of enlightenment. As long as the mind is attached to worldliness, consciousness dwells in the three lower centers, at the organs of evacuation and reproduction, and at the navel. The mind then contains no spiritual ideals or pure thoughts. The fourth center of consciousness is in the heart region. When the spiritual energy rises to this center, the aspirant sees a divine light and experiences ecstasy. As the energy reaches the fifth center at the throat, he wants to think and talk only of God. At the sixth center, between the eyebrows, he experiences the vision of God. There is still a slight sense of ego left, and the aspirant longs to break down that last barrier of separation from God. When the spiritual energy bursts into the highest center, in the brain, the realization dawns that I and my Father are one, and perfect divine union is attained. So the Sushumna would be literally a narrow gate leading to eternal life, to the knowledge of God Himself. In India, yoga teachings on the spiritual centers have been corroborated by the experiences of aspirants for thousands of years. But mystical realization is, of course, not limited to India. It is the same for all, whether they are Hindus, Christians, Jews, or followers of any other religious path. For a striking resemblance to the experiences of the Indian yogis, consider the example of Jacob Burma, a Christian mystic of the 16th century, who describes in his Confessions his own spiritual awakening. "For the Holy Ghost will not be held in the sinful flesh, but rises up like a lightning flash, as fire sparkles and flashes out of a stone when a man strikes it. But when the flash is caught in the fountain of the heart, then the Holy Spirit rises up, in the seven unfolding fountain spirits, into the brain like the dawning of the day, the morning redness. From this God I take my knowledge, and from no other thing. Neither will I know any other thing than that same God. Though an angel from heaven should tell this to me, yet for all that I could not believe it, much less lay hold on it. but I should always doubt whether it was certainly so or not. But the sun itself arises in my spirit, and therefore I am most sure of it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus tells us to discriminate between true and false prophets and true and false religion. True religion shows us how to overcome the world and attain the knowledge of God. But the teachers of false religion hold out the promise of success and wealth in the world. The fruits of true religion are illumination, selfless love, and compassion for all. Sri Ramakrishna followed the paths of many religions during his life on earth and always applied the same test to each. Will it give me the illumination of God? When told about some new sect, he would ask, "Does it teach love for God? Does it teach people how to realize God?" If not, he would have nothing to do with it. A religious leader should be an illumined soul. If he teaches the knowledge of God without having that knowledge himself, he is like the blind leading the blind. But it is difficult for a spiritual aspirant to judge the fitness of a teacher or prophet, because a truly religious man does not advertise his holiness. There are, however, certain qualities which are characteristic of a genuine spiritual leader. First, he knows the spirit of the Scriptures. Second, he is sinless and pure in heart, which means that he lives what he preaches. An intellectual grasp of religious truth is not enough. Third, he walks out of pure